For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday night show, and it's the weekly prophetic update, weekly prophecy update. And what we do is I have Brother Dave Hauser with me. And what I do is we go through the week looking at the really events that get us on the cutting edge of, keep us on the cutting edge of prophecy. And maybe some things that aren't necessarily prophecy, but are very important for us to know. So let me check here. And Brother Dave Hauser is with me. Hello, Brother Dave.
Shalom and Maranatha, John.
Shalom and Maranatha to you.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Are you ready for 1 Thessalonians? Chapter 15, starting at verse 51.
You mean 1 Corinthians?
What did I say?
Thessalonians.
Well, it's close. I mean, I read 1 Thessalonians, so my mind drifted over to 2 Thessalonians.
No, we're good, John. We're good.
Keep a watch on me, Dave. Keep a watch on me, all right?
Okay.
So let me get it over here so you can start. And there we go.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, we give it the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be fast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
All right, Dave, those are two power-packed section of scriptures about doctrine for the rapture doctrine. And these scriptures talk about Christ coming for us and being caught up into the air with him. And there's a resurrection of the dead, and then we that are alive, our bodies are transformed to be just like Jesus Christ. And then we go to heaven forever with him, Dave. All right. Amen. And then it says here at the end, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Connected with that is the looking for the blessed hope. The blessed hope is Jesus Christ coming as the groom, and we are his bride. And that's the same as the rapture, and he takes us to heaven, and we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And, of course, then we are always with this little break in between. We return with him at Armageddon, and then there is a we're going to rule and reign with him during the millennial reign, and then when all things are finished, there the great white throne judgment, where the people that don't believe in Christ are judged for their sins. Then it calms down, Dave. Then it settles down. In eternity, for eternity, Dave. Any comments on that?
Amen. Well, John, you sound like Clarence Larkin from 1917 and his dispensational truth chart.
Yeah, I knew Clarence real well, Dave.
Yeah, John, when were you born? Was the 1800s? I lost track.
That's funny. Well, I just wanted to get something. Get a little bit of humor, Dave. You gotta lighten up, Dave.
Exactly.
All right, Dave. Again, where as far as Israel go, things are going on, but it's like kind of, you know, the feeling before a hurricane's going to hit. So, in anything you want to pick up with Israel, Dave, that took place during the week, or the Middle East in particular, because I have quite a few things, but we are. It's on the verge of maybe the war erupting again against Hezbollah, but against Hamas, but definitely against Hezbollah. Dave. Yeah. So anything you have, let's hear what you have. Dave.
Well, John, I just want to, we spoke about it earlier. One thing that's happening that's very disturbing is on the internet, there's multiple videos, one in particular of a Baptist, basically saying that exactly what we're talking about, we're heretics, that Christian Zionists are theologically lobotomized. So, John, I'm going to make a joke out of this a little bit. Pretend that I'm talking to the pastor that has this view and Tucker Carlson. Not sure if we checked his birth certificate. It sounds like his middle name now is Adolf, the way he's acting. Tucker Adolf Carlson. Horrendous. he's basically inflaming anti-Semitism, and that's being euphemistic. So pretend for a moment I'm talking to the pastor. I'd ask the pastor, gee, pastor, where did Jesus ascend into heaven? Oh, Acts chapter 1 from the Mount of Olives. Well, let's see. If we look at Zechariah chapters 12, 13, and 14, where is he coming back? Mount of Olives. Well, pastor, why is he coming back? Is he coming back to vaporize Israel's enemies? Coming back to sit on the throne of David? What city is he coming back to? Oh, Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem and Judea, according to Zechariah, going to become the burdensome stone? Are all nations of the earth going to gather together against him? Yeah. Okay. Well, pastor, do you know where Judea is biblically? Oh, that's the West Bank. Yeah. Well, how long did that take? Pastor, is God a Zionist? Is Jesus Christ coming back to the Mount of Olives to defend Jerusalem and protect the Jewish people there? Pastor, Europe, fulfillment of prophecy, and Tucker Carlson is a fulfillment of prophecy. He is working on gathering the world against Israel over Jerusalem and Judea. How long did that take to explain? Not very long, John. It's incredibly sad.
Here's the problem, Dave. There is a problem with your scenario there. The problem is replacement theology. Or they have a huge problem. But in what you're saying, the pastor would tell you that when you're reading the scriptures there about Jerusalem, Jerusalem means the church. That's what they would tell you, Dave. They wouldn't follow your logic at all, although it is logical. They would tell you Jerusalem is the church, Zion is the church, Israel is the church, and they conveniently just, the church replaces it all. It's not easy, Dave. That's what they say. And then they'll, but pastor, see, now this is how you would come back at them. Well, pastor, is Israel a nation? Well, yes. Is Jerusalem the capital? Yes. Do they speak Hebrew? Yes. So when Christ returns, the Bible says he's going to return to Jerusalem. And there's Jerusalem right there. It's the capital of Israel. That's how you have to pin them down, Dave. You got to pin them. Otherwise, that's what they believe. The replacement theology means when you read the Old Testament and you see Zion, well, that means the church. Jerusalem is the church. Seriously, Dave, that's their doctrine. Now, they could get away with that years ago, somewhat. They could get away with it because there was no Israel, there was no Jerusalem. The Jews were scattered all over the world. There was a small remnant back in Israel, but that's all changed now. So here's what's happening, Dave. They are going to either have to change their false doctrine, and I'm going to say believe like we do, or they're going to have to hate us like they have to hate the Jews. And that hatred, the way it's starting to boil now, Dave, because we got to look into history. And we have to look into history. And history tells us when you start seeing what we see now, all we have to do is go back to the 1930s. When you start seeing what we do now, it isn't long before some monster like you mentioned, like Hitler or maybe a lesser monster, but no, a monster nonetheless, rises up and they try to kill the Jews. Now, Dave, let's go to Germany. It's August of 1939, just before World War II starts. Right, Dave?
Right.
Okay. And the Gestapo's out there rounding up Jews in a synagogue to bring them to a camp, right?
Right.
All right. And Dave Hauser says, wow, I'm a Christian, and the Bible says this, and the Jews are God's chosen people, and there's reasons why he chose them, and you can't do this. I'm a Christian Zionist. What happens to you, Dave?
Oh, I'd be participating in the death camps.
Yes.
They would, I guess.
Yes. So when Tucker Carlson starts lumping us together, he says we have a brain virus. And something like he hates us more than anyone. I think, is that what he said? Something similar to that. It doesn't take, well, he's already done it. People like him have already done it. Their hatred for the Jews, now we are in it. We're not Christians anymore. See, they have to deny that. They have to deny us to keep their heresy, Dave. You see how it works?
Very fair, John. And, you know, it's interesting. The pastor that I was supposedly talking to, I guess he assumes the Mount of Olives is in his parking lot.
Yeah, right, Dave.
Pretty pathetic.
Yeah, hey, isn't that something, Dave?
Is it in your parking lot?
The Mount of Olives is real, I guess. I mean, replacement theology, they make everything up as they go. But the Mount of Olives might be real, but the Jerusalem being the capital of Israel is not. So, yeah, you got them really tangled up on that one, Dave. But that's the way it was. That's the way it was for centuries. It started back, I think it was about 300 A.D., and it had to do, there was a big mess there with Constantine, the Roman Empire, and making Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire. But the one who codified all this was a Catholic, what do you want to call him, scholar? I just had his name.
Augustine,
yeah, Augustine. I believe he's the one that codified all this. So from his day, like 350, whatever the year was, AD, till today, that's the official doctrine of the Catholic Church. And then unfortunately, when Luther pulled out of the Catholic Church, he didn't pull out of that doctrine. And neither did almost all the reformers. They all took to replacement theology.
Yeah, John, Luther wrote a thesis concerning the Jews and their lies, which is very sad.
Yeah, very sad. So, Dave, when you see this hour we live in now, and people starting to, now in-house, quote, Christians, when you start to see them, I hate you more than anyone else because of your support for the Jews. You have a brain virus. We convict them, Dave. We convict them. And they can't stand that. You know, how can they hate the Jews and believe what we're saying? They can't. Something's got to break. So that's where we are right now. What happened with Tucker Carlson was huge, Dave. I mean, that was like a big cannon shot across the internet when Tucker Carlson came out and said that thing. And I'm not surprised at all.
John, just a thought, and it probably wouldn't happen, but interesting if we can invite Tucker Carlson to the show to one of the pastors on the internet that believe in this replacement theology. I'd like to see you debate him. I think you'd do very good, John.
Yeah, I would give it my best shot. But, Dave, let me ask you a question. When Hitler was killing all the Jews there in the 30s and up through World War II, did anybody ever say, Hitler, they're not Jews, what are you doing?
No, he knew they were Jews, that's for sure.
Yeah. So what happens is there's a whole crazy theology out there that says that the Jews in Israel are not Jews. I don't think Tucker Carlson holds to that. I don't think he does. But there's another like replacement theology that believes that the Jews in Israel are not Jews. Seriously, they're not Jews. They call them Khazars. And Khazars were Russian non-Jews that in like 1,000 years ago converted to Judaism. And they apply that to every Jew in Europe now. They're all Khazars. But that's what they say. They're not Jews. So they were driven out of Europe by Hitler, and they're not Jews. The Czars in the 1880s started to big time drive the Jews. They had pogroms, drive the Jews out of Russia. And that started the Zionist movement. The modern Zionist movement started in the early 1880s after a czar was assassinated. They blamed the Jews on it. And they had this tremendous, Tsar Alexander II, and they had this tremendous persecution. And the head of the Russian Orthodox Church said they wanted to kill a third of the Jews. They wanted to convert a third of the Jews. And then, yes, the other third, they wanted to drive them out of Russia. So that way there'd be no Jews left in Russia. Kill them, convert them, or drive them off to Russia. Well, the one place they drove them was like due south, and that was to Palestine then. So the early Zionist movement was started by the pogroms in Russia with the Tsar and the Russian Orthodox Church. And in the early 1800s, they drove them into Palestine. And that started it, Dave.
Yeah.
That started it.
Terrible. Terrible.
Now, here's a little... Because if you listen to them today, the hard left here in America, they call them colonizers. The Jews are European colonizers. The problem with that, Dave, is on Israel became a nation on May 14th, 1948. The very next day, that would be May 15th, all of the Arab nations from Morocco, and then through Iraq and into Iran. Iran is not an Arab nation. But all of them rose up and drove the Jews. Like, the Jews had like one day to get out. And they had lost businesses, land, all sorts of things. They had to run. And they ran to Israel. And so when they ran to Israel, there was almost a million of them. It was about 900 and something thousand Jews that fled North Africa and all the ways over to Iran. And they were the early foundation of the modern state of Israel. They weren't European colonizers. They were mostly from North Africa and all the ways over to Iran. And they were driven out. They didn't on their own go to Israel. They were driven there by the Muslim nation state. In fact, I have the headlines from the New York Times back in 1948. And on one side, Dave, it's talking about the Zionist state is created and all of that. And then there's another headline, Dave, that says John McTernan was born in the Bronx, New York. What do you think of that?
An amazing historical event.
Yes. Two tremendous historical events in the same week. But I've got it all. I bought the New York Times. I bought a copy of the New York Times, a whole week's worth. Maps, the whole bit. It's all nonsense, all lies. Everything that – see, if you don't know it's a lie, how do you refute it? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So I've got it all to refute it. And it says that Israel was attacked. The moment Israel declared David Ben-Gurion declared the state of Israel, Egypt was the first country to attack. It said Egypt was bombing Tel Aviv. Israel didn't start the war. the Muslims did. So here we are, Dave, 77 years later, and it looks like God is primed now, Dave, to move to the next phase now. Now, the first phase was the nation of Israel. The second phase was Jerusalem became the capital. Then there's a long pause to where we are now, and it looks like we're into the first war of Zechariah chapter 12, the nations roundabout. The second phase is all the nations of the world. Right now, the battle is with the nations roundabout. That's when you start talking about prophecy and the book of Zechariah and the first battle of Jerusalem, Dave, this is really deep, deep, deep prophetic scriptures. This is big time. Big, big, big time. So what are your comments on that, Brother Dave?
Well, John, it's unfolding as we speak. And they had to say, Tucker Carlson and his associates and these pastors are fulfilling prophecy, because in the Olivet Discourse, the first thing Jesus said is, take heed that no man deceive you. So they've been deceived, and they're participating in making Jerusalem and Judea the burdensome stone. So they're doing a really good job. I mean, you know, all over the internet, inflaming the situation against Israel. And, you know, there's other people that are participating too. They're also doing a great job. And then you have the college campuses and the professors and all these real smart guys at these colleges, all inflaming the situation. And, you know, now that things are, you know, supposedly calming down with Gaza, you're going to have these international, what do you call it, reports documenting the destruction of Gaza. That's going to inflame it even more, John.
Yeah. Now, Dave, why is Tucker Carlson deceived?
Good question. Well, the devil is alive and well on planet Earth, John.
Why aren't you deceived?
Well, I thank God that I'm not deceived, because I believe the simple teaching of the Bible. It's very simple. It's not complex, and it's very, very clear. And it's not like we're interpreting what's happening. Exactly what's happening is on TV, and it's exactly what the prophets talked about. It's not like we're spinning the truth.
The reason, Dave, is it's sin. You know, they are in deep rebellion against God. And for whatever is in them, they have a hatred for the Jews. So therefore, that it's their sin that caused them to be deceived.
Right.
All right. Let's, I've got some very interesting articles here. And let's talk about, oh, I got that video also. It's 15 minutes, but the first, I think, 7 minutes or 8 minutes were really good. Dave, I got a load of information here. So let me go quick and down these articles to get to that that video. I'll explain it when I get to it. All right, Dave. I don't know how long ago. It was a couple months ago. You were here talking about the situation in Iran and the water situation, remember?
Yeah, now it's coming to an head. They're running out of water completely.
Yeah, here's the headline. Iran in crisis as major drought forces regime to cut off water to Tehran, their capital. And they're considering evacuating the city. Wow. So the Tehran is the capital. And it's like 10 million people, I believe, Dave. You know, Tehran and the surrounding areas there, and there's no water. I mean, zero water. So they're really being blessed of God, right, Dave?
Well, you know, we should get them some Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 t-shirts. Just so they understand what's happening.
I particularly like Obadiah 1:15, Dave, myself.
Well, there's room on a t-shirt to do
both. Here's what we'll do. We'll compromise. We'll put one on the front and the other on the back.
There we go.
All right. But there it is, folks. This isn't some prophecy for even a month ahead of time now. This is right now. The water, Tehran, the capital city, is out of water, and they're thinking about evacuating the people. It just doesn't rain anymore. Zero rain. Okay, I have another article called Christian Zionism Comes from Understanding that God is a Zionist. Yes, absolutely. That's absolutely 100% correct. It's a rather lengthy article, but I've... they have some quotes in it. Here's a quote from the National Council of Churches in Christ, it's called, of Christ, in the USA in 2006. Right, quote, "The Christian Zionist program provides a worldview where the gospel is identified with the ideology of empire, colonialism, and militarism." Dave, this is, it's amazing how they come up with this. In its extreme form, it places an emphasis on apocalyptic events leading to the end of history rather than living Christ's love, justice, and justice for today. "We categorically reject Christian Zionism, Zionist doctrines, as false teaching that corrupts the biblical message of love, justice, and reconciliation." Any comment
about
that?
These guys are really brilliant. Well, they're brilliant, John. Theological experts denying the simplest thing that the Bible said. We went over it earlier in the show. I'd like to talk to one of these guys and have you, John. And I think he would do very, very badly.
Yeah, Dave, it always relates to, see, modern Israel, they can't stand it because they have a doctrine that replacement theology, God's finished with Israel, individual Jews, if God is very nice, can get saved, but Israel is, God has no plans with the nation of Israel. He has no plans with Jerusalem under the control of Israel. That's all finished. That's all done. Except, let's get on a plane, Dave, and fly over to David Ben-Gurion Airport there in outside of Tel Aviv and take the bus to Jerusalem. What do you think, Dave?
Well, John, I also think that they would believe Moses is a heretic, because Moses said he did scatter Israel. Will gather him,
yes,
and keep him
exactly.
As a shepherd does his flock. So Moses is a pick.
All right. Another article, Dave. IDF conducts wave of strikes on Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. Now, Hezbollah is failing to disarm like they were supposed to. Apparently, the Lebanese government was to oversee Hezbollah disarming, and they're not disarming. So Israel has been taking it upon themselves to, when they find these storehouses, and blowing them up. This is only going to go on for so long, Dave. And we're looking at Hamas not surrendering, disarming, and we're looking at Hezbollah not disarming. And we're also looking at Iran. Apparently, Iran is getting a substantial amount of missiles from Russia. It might be a bunch of countries. It might be Korea, North Korea, Russia, and China. I'm not sure. But anyways, it's getting rearmed with their missiles at Israel. Hezbollah is rearming, and Hamas is not disarming. So Israel's only going to stand for this so long, Dave. They're not going to let Hezbollah rebuild like it did before Israel destroyed them. So when the fuse is lit, but when Lebanon is going to explode, I don't know. But from kind of analysts that I follow closely, military analysts and media analysts and that, they believe we are right on the edge with Hezbollah now. Israel is right on the edge of invading Lebanon, and it will be a all-out, it will finish in all, as an all-out war with Lebanon. Now, here's, let me get another article, Dave, here, about what's going on in Hamas. Okay, the headline article says, Hamas says terrorists hold up in Rafah will not surrender. So there's a faction of, or maybe them all, in Hamas that apparently are not going to surrender. Israel is going to have to go in there and root them all out. Now, my contention is, Dave, that if they die as martyrs, so Israel goes into Gaza there and they finish off Hamas and they kill another 5 or 10,000 of the terrorists, they become martyrs. And that's very dangerous, Dave. That could inflame huge, it could inflame, let's say, Jordan. All of the Hamas supporters in Jordan, it could inflame them. It could inflame Egypt. So we got two things going here. Number one is the battle with Hezbollah and a potential, you know, bloodbath there, Israel going in and conquering all of Lebanon. And then you could have Hamas dying as martyrs in Israel, which could really inflame the Muslims in Egypt and Jordan and beyond. So what's your comments on this, Dave?
Well, John, the clock is ticking. And Hamas, it's a concept. And the concept is not going away. They have a charter, and they want to destroy Israel. And they're not going to, you know, stop what they're doing. It's that simple.
Right, right. So, but what I'm saying, with the idea of them dying as martyrs, the influence on Islam.
Right.
Do you see that? Do you think that that's viable?
Well, yeah. In other words, you know, if you're a follower of Muhammad and Allah, if you become a martyr, you look at the Palestinian Authority, their pay-for-slay program. If you're a Palestinian in the West Bank or, you know, Jerusalem, whatever, and you happen to kill some Jewish people, they pass out candy and they basically, you know, support you financially. That's a great program.
Yeah. So I think that there's a distinct possibility that it would set fire. If they all die as martyrs, it would, could set fire, especially in Egypt and especially Jordan. All right, I've got a 10-minute video here. I'll watch the time closely on it. It has to do about huge numbers of Muslims converting and coming to the Lord. Now, I experienced this in my ministry as I see huge amounts, folks, huge, sometimes 1,000 at a time, and then becoming baptized and all. Well, they're picking this up mainly here in America with all those Afghanis that came here to America, that Biden took them. Well, there's a silver cloud in this with these Afghanis that turn into Christ in significant numbers, significant. So here,
we've been talking about the avalanche of apostasy for several years now. If you're not familiar with the avalanche of apostasy, it refers to the skyrocketing apostasy rates in Islam. Muslim leaders are in panic mode because so many Muslims are leaving their religion.
24% of Muslim youth are leaving Islam.
Previously, according to me, when a person from Saudi Arabia or from the Gulf country went to America or went to Western country, the chances that, you know, they would deviate from the deen would be maybe 1 or 2%. That's it. But nowadays, the chances are more than 25%.
And if we don't take constructive steps to deal with this, it is going to become an avalanche.
For some of you younger viewers, this is completely normal. You hear from ex-Muslims all the time. But if you're my age or older, and if you were paying attention 20 years ago, you didn't see very many ex-Muslims. There were ex-Muslims, but they didn't talk about it much because they didn't want to become targets. So, there were only a handful of publicly visible ex-Muslims, people like Nabil, Brother Rashid, Ayan Hirsi Ali, and so on. Fast forward to today, and I already know when I see a video that has anything to do with leaving Islam that the comment section is going to be filled with ex-Muslims and people talking about all their ex-Muslim friends. A few hours ago, I even put this to the test. A short popped up from the archive. The archive made a short from a section of one of my videos about a Muslim calling into Hamza's den to complain about all the Afghan Muslims who are leaving Islam in Virginia. It's under a minute, so we'll just watch it. Recently, a Muslim entered Hamza's den to complain about all the Afghan Muslims who were leaving Islam in his area.
There is a major, major concern here in Virginia. Okay. We have lots of Afghans literally leaving Islam. They are leaving by the masses. A lot of them, guys. A lot of them.
He's just talking about Afghan Muslims leaving Islam in his city. Nowhere else Muslims are leaving Islam. Everywhere there's an internet connection. For 14 centuries, Muslim sheikhs were able to keep their followers insulated, shielded, protected from ever hearing any response to their ridiculous claims about Muhammad and the Quran. Fast forward to the 21st century, when anyone with an internet connection can look up what their sheikhs are claiming about Muhammad and the Quran, and what do you get? Get an avalanche of apostasy.
It is going to become an avalanche.
Now, I already knew what I was going to find when I went to the comments. And the comments did not disappoint. Let's have a look. I am Afghan. I converted to Christianity. Same, bro. Was it hard for you, like family-wise? Even in Nigeria, there are lots of conversions to Christianity. I'm not an Afghan, but I left Islam and converted to the Christian faith. Best decision ever in my life. Ex-Muslim from South Africa, I hope the whole world opens their eyes. As an Afghan Christian, I am so happy to hear this news. Christianity saved my life. Jesus loves all of us. I am from Afghanistan, living in Canada. I am getting baptized this Easter Vigil. It has been the best decision of my life. I truly feel the presence of the Lord since I accepted Christ into my life. I have seen all the darkness of Islam growing up as an Afghan Muslim. All we can do is continue to pray for our Muslim brothers and sisters to come to our dear Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only truth. I got to this journey through dreams and visions when I had zero knowledge of Jesus Christ at the time. Reading the Word of God and being led through this by the Holy Spirit is what has brought me closer and closer to Christ. I love him so much. Please pray for my family so that they too can come to the truth and have eternal life. Love you all. Christ be with you. Totally unrelated, but here's a bonus testimony. I was a Chinese atheist and was baptized in 2005. Praise the Lord. I have a new classmate from Afghanistan, and today we had a chat, and he told me he is an ex-Muslim after he read and studied Quran. He left the cult. I was so happy for him, I had to hug him and tell him about Jesus. Ex-Muslim from Afghanistan here. Praise the Lord, he saved me from my dark phase of life 2 months ago and brought me to light and peace. Today at 11 a.m., I will get baptized. Thank you, my King. Lord, protect our Christian Avengers. Ex-Muslim from Morocco here. I apostatized because of the internet. Ex-Muslim from Malaysia here. Malaysian can like this comment. I'm an ex-Muslim from West Africa. I was born Muslim, but honestly, I never felt at peace. My soul was always yearning closer to God. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. What I understand is that whenever you sincerely seek for God, he saw you, Jesus Christ, no doubt. Honestly, there is no Muslim that can answer my questions without feeling guilty. In Egypt, around 2 million left Islam, mostly became atheists, and others converted to Christianity. In Arabic, we call them Abarin. God bless you, David. It is also happening in Iran. Approximately a million have left Islam. Hundreds of thousands of mosques are now vacant. In the Netherlands, we recently had several secret baptisms. A Turkish church began in, censored for security reasons. We had baptisms of Muslims from Yemen, Syria, Iran, Morocco. January 2025. As an ex-Muslim, only Islam or communism can destroy our entire way of life and freedom on earth.
I'll stop it because this continues.
40s. I am not Afghan.
This continues the same, just testimony after testimony. But you got to watch the imams there. And they are really concerned about what's going on in Islam. So I knew, Bishop Reinhardt was here in the United States, and he stayed a couple days and with me. And he was telling me about, I hear about the Hindus coming to the Lord in India, but never really about the Muslims. But he told me there's a lot of Muslims coming to the Lord now. And we see what's going on in Pakistan, the huge numbers, and the Hindus in Pakistan. And then in Africa, East Africa, the large numbers of Muslims and imams coming to the Lord. But now we could see that the same, what the Lord's doing is here in America also. And I know there was a significant Afghani population in Houston here. I knew that for sure. I'm curious to see if they're coming to Christ now here in Houston also in great numbers. So, Dave, what do you think about this little video and the fact that so many Muslims are coming to the Lord?
Well, John, it's a blessing, and thank God, because the clock is, and the Lord's coming back soon, and it's going to be very, very clear that, Islam is not going to be able to destroy Israel. They're not going to be able to take over Jerusalem. The temple is going to be built in Jerusalem. And a lot of the stuff that they think is going to happen is going to prove that Muhammad is not a prophet. He's a false prophet. So it's sad.
Now, Dave,
they follow these people. And, yeah.
I'm going to have to correct you.
Sure.
To be a prophet, do you have to give prophecy?
Yes, you do, I would assume, right?
Right. So if Muhammad has virtually zero prophecy, there's one disputed, I don't think it's prophecy at all, but anyways, if he has none, does that make him, how can he be a prophet? How can he be a false prophet?
Well, what wasn't there one thing that he said that supposedly happened, but it was, not really a prophecy?
That's
but they think he's a prophet. They call him Muhammad the prophet.
Right. So I referred to him as a false teacher.
Oh, there we go. That's even better.
I said, I can't call your Muhammad a false prophet because he hasn't made any prophecies.
Right, sure.
All right. Now, there's a group of students in New York City that have exposed really vicious anti-Semitic teachers at universities. Now, one of them surprised me because I'm almost sure it's a Jewish college. And in fact, I know it is, but I'm looking for, I don't have the name of the schools on my quote here, but there were three or four schools there in New York City, and they got together and they put together a expose here, and they've exposed these professors that are outright anti-Semitic. They have Free Palestine signs up in their rooms and stuff like that. I did mention about Iran, Israel, and Hezbollah all preparing day and night. They're at it 24/7, preparing for the next war. So, Dave, quite often with these truces, what they do is they're able to take like a couple deep breaths, take, you know, some oxygen, put an oxygen mask on, and then run right away to rebuild for the next war. What do you think, Dave?
Well, John, I saw videos this week about China shipping massive amounts of missiles, advanced aircraft, radar systems to, and they're getting involved in rearming Iran.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. There's another article here. You may have heard of this on the internet, and it has to do about a supposedly the IDF tortured and sodomized Hamas prisoners. And it went viral through the internet, and they were linking Netanyahu to it, the whole thing. So the Israeli military and the judicial system looked into it, and it turns out it's all nonsense. It's all things spliced together, had nothing to do with Israel. But it's these, there are people like Tucker Carlson that if this goes out, Dave, without investigating it, anything to do against Israel, anything to do against Netanyahu, anything to go against Zionism, they run with it right away, Dave, right away. And that's what they did. And the Israelis have proven that it had nothing to do with Israel. This is pure propaganda. The president also has made statements about defending Nigeria. Now, we're connected with this through Pastor Abel in Nigeria. Now, he's not in an area heavily infested with Boko Haram, but there have been attempts on two attempts on his life. And now I don't know how many it is, Dave, but it's in the tens of thousands that over the last 20 years or so, Christian Nigerians have been killed by the Muslims. And Trump wants it stopped immediately. So this is fantastic, Dave. I mean, God bless him for this. I mean, seriously. Not you know, bless him for standing up for Israel, but God bless him for standing up for the Christians. And he's brought it for worldwide attention. Any comment, Dave?
Yeah, John, it's exactly, you can't just stand by and watch it happen. And it's documented it is happening, and they're killing hundreds of people, destroying churches. And it's a catastrophe.
They go after the pastors, Dave, and they've done horrific things the way they killed them. I mean, it's the old-time way the Muslims did it. The Muslims did this in the past. And now they're doing it in Africa. But, I mean, just horrific. Dave, there's murder, and then there is, like, brutality, sadistic. Yeah. Let's say it's a war, and you kind of have to shoot the enemy to survive. But instead of that, you club him with a baseball bat and then start carving him up and cutting things out. And that's what the Muslims do in Nigeria. They brutalize people. Some of the ways I know that they've done it is they herd them into churches or buildings, lock them up, and then throw gasoline and burn them all alive in the, you know, things like that. They've taken pastors and like skinned him alive in front of the church, tied him to the ground and skinned him. You know, this is that, Dave, that's, I know murder is murder, but there's like a way of murdering someone. And then this here, this brutality, this, you know, just horrible, horrible. Anyways, that's what's going on in Nigeria. And one of the good news here is there's research confirms that Israel has been turning to God since this war. Now, I have reported that off and on, and that there has been notable all over the world, not only in Israel, but in quite a few places in the world, the Jews are turning to Israel. I mean, turning to God. Now, of course, that's the secular Jews, but this is very important, Dave, because the Jews have to be focused on the Lord in great numbers. We know that when Israel makes that covenant with the beast, the Antichrist, there's going to be a temple in play. The temple is going to be used for sacrifices, just like it was under the law of Moses until the Romans stopped it in 70 AD. And that'll be part of the Jews turning to the God of Israel and then coming to Christ. So that war that started on October 7th is the catalyst, Dave, I think now. More and more and more you're going to see the Jews coming out of secularism and all of that and becoming real Jews like they were back when there was temple worship, Dave. Any comments?
Amen, John. Well, it's going to be a fulfillment of prophecy. And Zechariah says, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. So when the Lord comes back, they're going to be realizing that it's Jesus. It's very, very clear.
Now it says, they shall look on me whom they have pierced. We go over to Zechariah chapter 14, Dave, verse 4. Who's standing on the Mount of Olives?
Looks like Jesus.
Right. So chapter 12 says they're going to look upon me whom they have pierced. And then chapter 14, the Lord's standing on the Mount of Olives. So that's who they're going to see, Dave, whom they pierced. All right, Dave, let's get an update here on what's going on with you in the ministry.
Okay, sure. Well, John, Seth, the shipping department is basically closed. I've been shipping and paying for myself some small packages where people are getting the entire prophecy package, but they're only getting a few pieces of each. So that's a blessing. Down the road, Lord willing, we're going to work on putting some pictures on the website so people can understand that when we would ship a package, say, for $44, and you see the picture of what happened, maybe you'll be able to realize that you might want to help at the shipping department. So that's the story, John. We're missing a big opportunity. In the past, when things were really going really accelerating, I would ship a medium-sized box with about 250 pieces. I would do it every single day. I'd be at the post office with a medium-sized box. But that hasn't happened in an awful long time, John. So we're missing an opportunity. But Lord willing, hopefully people will realize what's going to be happening. So that's the story. So I will talk to you during the week.
Okay,
and,
Dave.
I want to thank everybody for listening.
Yeah, and thank you for coming, okay, Dave. I thought just the final thought, Dave, there. I may have missed it if you answered it. Your final take on all these Muslims coming to the Lord here now. Significant
amounts. Well, John, it's a blessing.
In America.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Well, that during the tribulation is going to even accelerate because the Lord's going to be sending two witnesses to Jerusalem. It'd be pretty obvious when you read Revelation chapter 11 how powerful their ministry is going to be. And it's going to be right in Jerusalem. And one of their key talking points will be exactly the evidence that's going to turn people, specifically Muslims, to the Lord. So it's going to even accelerate, John, during the tribulation.
Okay. Well, God bless you, Dave.
All right.
And you can take you can take the muzzle off your little pit bull.
Sounds good. Well, it's only a Chihuahua, John, 6-pound Chihuahua.
Well, okay. Sounds like a pit bull to me. Nah, that's a cute dog, Dave. All right. God bless you, Dave. All right, let me go over. I have no idea who's here. Let me take a look. All right. Yeah. Well, what we'll do is I've got about an hour's worth more of information. And then when I'm finished, If you want, you can call, if you have some questions or comments, you can call the dial pad number, 717-409-5553, 717-409-5553. You can also come in through the website, dial pad, and you can come directly in through the website. All right, let me get back over, and I want to check to make sure everything was covered regarding Israel and the Middle East. This guy, Mamdani, who won in New York City, the mayor. Now, he's a communist, and he's also a rather hardcore Muslim. Now, I thought he would naturally be a Sunni, but from what I was reading, he may be a Shiite. That's the ones that have the Iranian background. So he very well may be, because I think that's worse. If you want to pick a poison, the Shiites are worse than the Sunnis. But anyways, there was imam after imam after imam that were all bad news praising him. In fact, he had a meeting Saturday, and wherever the meeting was with the Muslims, they were all shouting, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. This guy's big trouble, and he's going to test the spine of Trump and everybody else. This guy here. He's the devil's raised him up to destroy us. I can't think of anything worse than a communist Muslim. Well, how worse can it get? Maybe a Satanist. So, all right. Well, here's an article. It's titled "Mamdani's God Squad: The Cleric Activists and Political Operatives Who Have His Back." And it's quite long, but I only took one example out. There was a number of imams. Hey, these imams, these Muslims can't come to Christ fast enough and get out of this and defuse them. All right. Quote, Mamdani's background diverges from many of his co-religionists. In an interview, he said that he is a Koja Shia Muslim. No, it's not a Shiite. He's a Shia. So, I mean, yeah, Shia. That's where I got it from. He's not a Sunni. So I have no idea. I never heard of a Koja Shia Muslim. Part of a small, relatively liberal sect with roots in India. Many of his New York area allies are religious, strict Sunni Muslims who practice more conservative interpretation of the faith, but they find common ground in politics. It's a sophisticated fusion of religion, politics, and identity. The same network that once focused on community services are now mobilizing voters and producing candidates. This is how political Islam adapts inside of democracy. So their goal in this is to turn, city by city, state by state, into Sharia law. They'll use democracy against us. Because remember, you got to defend, you take an oath to defend the Constitution. So I don't know how that would come into play. But their goal is to take over, and it's a democratic republic. I hate to say democracy because we're a democratic republic. Democracies are very dangerous, folks, because in a quote democracy, 51%, when you win, you've got it. You could tell everybody else what to do. So we're a democrat republic. So you vote the people, but the republic is based on like the Constitution. So anyways, they vote the people in, And then step by step by step by step, slowly but surely, they bring the whole society under Shi'ira, Sunni, over Shi'ira law. That's what they want. That's their goal. And they're well along the road for it in Europe, especially, well, England, France, Germany. Okay. So the time bomb is ticking here. Let's see what's going to happen to New York City next year when this guy comes to power. There is a college here in New York, Syracuse University, and there's been a whistleblower has come out, and he said that when there was the riots were going on in Syracuse, that agents from Iran were on campus, and they were the ones that the event on campus was orchestrated by Iran. Quite interesting. And I believe he said all this information had been provided to Homeland Security. Erdogan from Turkey, he prayed that Zionist Israel be destroyed and be devastated. So that's what he prayed last week. Here's his prayer. It starts off, may Allah, for the sake of his name, destroy and devastate Zionist Israel. Let me see if there's anything else interesting. Okay, Erdogan is a sworn enemy of Israel and the West, a jihadist in a suit, and pointed to earlier statements by the Turkish leader claiming a special Turkish claim on Jerusalem. On October 1st, 2020, Erdogan told Turkey's parliament, so Jerusalem is our city, our first Qibla. I don't know what that means, Qibla. It's defined as a passage widely reported at the time. He also referenced Erdogan's September 2025 comments when Turkish president said, we will not give a single pebble belonging to Jerusalem to Israel. Turkish and regional media coverage those remarks at the time. Okay. So Erdogan's all, he's ready to go. And that's why it's so dangerous to have the Turkish army in Gaza in any way, shape, or form, or anything with Turkey, heavy equipment in there or anything. Israel cannot trust Turkey. All right, now I have another section that we can look to, and that is wars and rumors of wars. So, let me pick out the best one. All right. Now, there's constant missile bombardment and drones between Russia and Ukraine. And Russia is doing a lot of destruction to the Ukraine as far as their electric infrastructure and heat. And what Ukraine is focusing on against Russia, and this is, the Ukrainians are doing it really, really effectively, is they're attacking the Russian oil and gas structure. And it's every week. Now, right now, it's estimated that the Ukraine has taken out about 25% of the Russian oil. That's huge, folks. Huge. 25%. So they just attacked oil refinery. The Ukrainians just attacked an oil refinery, and it did. They attacked it with 50 drones and heavily destroyed it. So every week without fail now, the Russians are heavily bombing the Ukraine. Ukrainians are heavily bombing the Russians, and their drones are really sophisticated, the Ukrainians, and they're going many miles into Russia, like I said, taking out these oil refineries and the gas refineries. So that happened again. We are getting, there's something going on with the United States and Venezuela. We sent this spy, which sounds funny, but this spy blimp into the Caribbean, and it can stay in place for very, very long times. Here's what the article says. U.S. expands Lockheed Martin-built spy blimps over the Caribbean so they can go deep into Venezuela and spy on everyone. They can also, they have ground radar, and they can spot boats. Simplest noise they can spot or pick up, simplest movement. So here's the story now. Through the years, we, the United States, has suffered with many, many, many casualties because of the drugs. Now, I'm a little confused about this, but it appears that Venezuela is not a large producer of the drugs, but they are channeled through Venezuela then into the Caribbean. And so Venezuela is actually in charge of the drugs, but it's not producing them. They're stored and they're warehoused and they're shipped. Now, apparently, Colombia is a big producer of cocaine. And then the fentanyl and all has been coming in through Mexico. But I don't know. Everything I read doesn't say where Venezuela is getting the fentanyl and these other drugs. So Trump has authorized the Navy to take out these ships in the Caribbean. And so far, they've taken about 20 out, 20 of these drug hauling ships. And they're not exactly beauties and ships. They're all of them that I've seen are pretty rough looking. But nonetheless, there's huge amounts of drugs that have been taken out already. Huge amount. Some of these boats handle enormous amounts of like cocaine and that. So we have brought, there's an aircraft carrier on the way, a Gerald Ford aircraft carrier, with other ships, planes that are stationed in Puerto Rico. I think we have up to 10,000 troops there now, but it may be more. It seems like every day more and more troops are coming, and it's the Marines, and they are in ships off the coast of Venezuela. So I don't know how much longer President Trump can keep the military there without using it. The story is, the Venezuela is the center of running drugs, fentanyl-type drugs, into the United States, and they ship them through the Caribbean. I hear things like, this week it's supposed to, Trump is going to attack this week. And it didn't happen, but the buildup is for sure. The buildup is for sure. And basically, Trump is telling the whole, at least Southern Hemisphere here, the Caribbean and all the nations there in South America, that it's over. You're not doing this anymore. And if necessary, I don't see a land invasion, but if necessary, we're going to obliterate you until you stop dealing with the drugs. That's incredible, folks. I mean, that, to my opinion, that should have been done 20, 30 years ago. Whenever we really noticed Venezuela was the main driver and getting these drugs here. That's when it should have been stopped, confronted and stopped. Let me look at some more of the articles that I have here. All right, Putin is he's unleashed submarine missiles for the first time. Very sophisticated missiles, high speed. He's fired them, and that was apparently successful. President Trump has put an embargo on Russia, and it has to do with the banking industry and a couple other industries, but the big one is the bank industry. And all indications are that this here has really shaken Israel, shaken Russia. That the what Trump has done economically, it's really, really big time hurting Russia. And Trump has got India to go along with us on this, because India had been buying a lot of oil from Russia and kind of getting close to Russia. But India now has swung, and it's supporting, I'm going to say us, and this is really hurting Russia. They're not selling their oil. They desperately need oil because that's where they get most of their money, from the Russian government. So right now, about 25% of the Russian oil exports have been cut by, combination of things, but the Russian, the Ukrainian drones and missiles destroying the oil refineries, and the second is these embargoes there that have just really hit now, and they're getting more and more powerful. So there is a stranglehold, a real stranglehold on Russia. They have long, long, long gas lines now. About 40% of the gas has been lost, you know, the gasoline. And it's really hurting Russia, folks. Now, it hasn't filtered over to the actual army yet. But there are indications now that the Russian economy is hurting the civilian life, but it's also affecting the production of in the military, like equipment, you know, bullets, things like that. And I've always said since this started with Russia, we've got to be very, very, very careful. Because Russia feels it's going down because of these this embargo, and then of course the cost of the military. And Russia, you know, all the time you'll hear, well, the Russian army is moving in Ukraine, and the Russian army is doing this, the Russian army is doing that. And I watch this all the time, and it always comes to pass, folks, that and the Russian army can't do it. It can't. The Ukrainian army can't do it either. They're logged up and they're in a wrestling match, like, and no one, they're just destroying each other. And that's exactly what Trump was telling them, you know, like this, like, have a peace now, cut a peace deal. It's playing out nonstop right in front of our eyes. So they're locked in there, and the meat grinder is much worse for the Russians. I don't know what they've lost now between the wounded and the dead. It's like a million, I think, a couple hundred thousand I heard last. But exactly as Trump told them, stop it now. It's a meat grinder. But they didn't. So that's the update there with the Ukraine and Russia. No one's a clear winner on this, or not even heading towards winning. So we looked at Venezuela. We've looked at Russia and the Ukraine. And let's see if there's anything about China. All right. This is what a, how slick can China be? Here's the headline. China breaks silence on growing World War III fears with message to Russia and its enemies. So China put this out about to Russia, U.S., UK, Ukraine, and someone else. And it's basically like, well, let me read it. It's not that long. China has sent out a message to Russia, U.S., UK, and Ukrainian of, as fears of World War III grow. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Lin Jin said on Friday that all parties need to show restraint, avoid further escalation. He said, under the current circumstances, all parties should remain calm and restrained, work to cool the situation through dialogue and conciliations, and create conditions for a political settlement of the crisis, as China refers to Russia's war of aggression against the Ukraine. In order to achieve a ceasefire as soon as possible, Chinese ambassador to the U.S. made similar remarks in an interview with Newsweek and said, realizing an early ceasefire and striving for political settlement served the interests of all sides. Now, that sounds real good, and it sounds China is so conciliatory and all of this. And here China is building its war machine up at a feverish rate and hasn't slowed down. I mean, China is pedal to the metal for war. No one builds war machines like that to look at them. So here they're building this huge war machine, and they're telling the rest of the world, now calm down and let's do a political solution to everything. Amazing, amazing. Now, when you look just prior to World War One, but we'll say World War II, the Germans were building at a feverish rate. The Italians, don't forget, Mussolini was in partners with Hitler. The Japanese were at a feverish place also for their war machine, and so was Great Britain, really. Great Britain picked up earlier than we were. But we were, the United States was not aggressively building up its war machine. The rest of the world was. We had, starting in 1942, we had plans for the Navy in particular, and also new planes in the Air Force. But the rest of the world there were at a feverish pace. That's the way China is, folks. When you look back in history and you look before World War II, always a feverish pace building up the military. World War I was the same way, was exactly the same way. And then before those other wars, they were lesser known in the 1800s. We had the Crimean War. We had Napoleon, you know, they were all building up. So right now what China is doing, you get momentum going. And that's like Russia built its military up before it invaded Ukraine. And so there's no doubt that this is complete nonsense by Russia, China, telling everybody calm down, political solutions. And here China's pedal to the metal. And every sphere to build every weapon you could think of, getting ready for, you know, who are they going to attack? Well, they're going to attack Taiwan. And then if we come to Taiwan's aid, they will then attack us. They'll attack Japan. They'll attack everybody. All right. This is very interesting. Trump says China's Xi, I think that's how you pronounce it, Xi, Xi, told him he wouldn't move on Taiwan during Trump's term. Oh, but I believe so. That, what a gall for him to say it. And it's been said, quote, it's been said, he has openly said, and his people have openly said it also at meetings, we would never do anything while President Trump is president because they know the consequences. Trump said in an excerpt in an interview with CBS, 60 Minutes, that aired Sunday. So the Chinese are saying, oh, we would never go to war with you as president, you know, because we know you would fight and retaliate. No. But anyways, that's what they said, like last week, Chinese. I think I've just about covered everything there. Oh, this is interesting. Pakistan threatens to obliterate Taliban after peace talks fall apart. So, you know, we normally don't hear things like this, but the sources that I picked this up. So Pakistan's defense minister on Wednesday threatened to obliterate the Taliban, which controls neighboring Afghanistan, after negotiations towards lasting peace between the two sides failed. Peace talks wrapped up in Istanbul, Turkey, without a workable solution, according to Pakistan's minister Tartar, which comes after deadly clashes this month. Dozens were killed along the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan in the worst violence in the area since Taliban took control of, in 2021. Oh, wait, go back to 2021. Negotiations ended with a disagreement over the terror groups allegedly using Afghan as a base to attack security forces along Pakistan's border. So that war with, if Pakistan was to fight the Taliban in Afghanistan, that's nowhere as near dangerous as fighting India. Both of them have nuclear weapons. And and Pakistan's crazy. It's a crazy nation with nuclear weapons. All right. I think that just about covers everything. There's an article here about Venezuela, and it's the aircraft carrier Gerald R. Ford. The aircraft carriers are now named after presidents. It's a 100,000-ton ship. Wow, we 90 aircraft. A bunch of other ships are coming with it. Okay. Now I have another heading, and that's about it. I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but President Trump is thinking about offering the British people refugee status and come in as under refugees because of what the British government is doing to their citizens now. If you say anything about the government, they come and arrest you. If you say anything about Islam, they come and arrest you. And it's more than arrest. You know, they bankrupt you and all of that. So I have been mentioning that don't be surprised if you see Europe, particularly the British, open up, America open up as letting them in as refugees. But it already happened from Germany. I guess I didn't post that here. I thought I did. Huh. The German politician that they're after her because she's an opposition politician. And they're looking to, arrest her and all. So she has applied to the United States. Can you imagine that? German. She's applied to the United States as refugee She wants refugee because of how the German government is prosecuting her. So that's in the process right now. I guess I didn't post it. No, I didn't. Okay. So that's everything there about wars and rumors of wars. So we looked at the Middle East, wars and rumors of wars. I want to come back here to the United States. And in remaining time, we'll go over this. Now, this is interesting. There has been all sorts of reports. Well, he has been interviewed many times. And that is the son of a Hamas leader. He's been killed now, who has become an American citizen. Now, there's another article that just came out, and it says, daughter of Hamas founder becomes Christian after a dream reveals Jesus as God. So I don't know if they're brother and sister. When I read the article, I didn't see that at all. Didn't come up at all. But she gives a testimony as growing up as a Muslim and how horrible it was. And the article is pretty good, so I recommend it. And again, it's titled, Daughter of a Hamas Founder Becomes Christian After a Dream Reveals Jesus as God. This is really interesting. Oh, man, we might be facing 1776 all over again. Here's the article. UK government, First Amendment doesn't protect Americans from British censorship laws. So there are providers that are here in the United States, but they provide all over the world. So the British want this to shut down and not to allow, quote, any hate speech come into Great Britain. So the American are saying no, we operate under the First Amendment here. So now this is coming to a head where the British government is coming against information providers here. And I guess it would be like Facebook and things like that. I don't know what can they do? Arrest? No. Let me just read a little bit more because the article, let me read it to might explain it a little more. UK government's communications regulator, Ofcom, is facing backlash and a federal lawsuit after asserting that the U.S. Constitution does not protect American citizens from its online censorship laws. Under the United Kingdom's sweeping Online Safety Act, Ofcom, has been sending enforcement letters to small U.S. platforms, including 4chan and Kiwi Farms, is demanding compliance with British speech regulations and threatening heavy fines of noncompliance. But the move has triggered what one American attorney calls a constitutional ambush. The two American companies said the regulators' action that in Great Britain were frankly asinine. My clients are entirely American. So I found that real interesting that the British government is trying to reach all the way across the Atlantic, you know, all the ways into a corporation and say, you can't do this and you can't do that because it violates British law. Wow. But the hour we live in, and all this technical advancement and all that's going on, you could see how really close, if they ever get in power, it would take a matter of a couple of days to bring this whole thing under control now by them, the New World Order. And this here, I forgot, I wanted to share with Dave like at the first part of the show, but here's the headline. Nancy Pelosi's stock market return rate during her time in Congress is insane. So they didn't tell you in the article what it was, but she and her husband are like the world's leader in the stock market, seriously. And she, as the Speaker of the House, gets tipped off and notified about all sorts of stocks. So her return rate is a mind-boggling, incredible amount of 16,930%. You know, not 20% or 50%. That would be good. Hers is 16,930%. From the article, during her 40 years in Congress, the stock market return rate was 16,930%. Read that again in bold letters. 16,930%. That is beyond stunning. People can spend their entire career working on Wall Street and not get that kind of return. It's just the sort of thing that has spurred rumors of inside training and taken advantage of information gleaned by working in Congress. Pelosi is now worth over $280 million. $280 million, folks. And whatever dollar she puts in the stock market, her return rate is 16,930. Amazing. Amazing. Really amazing. Now, this has to do about Chicago and illegal immigration. I think the largest Mexican gang in the United States is they're called the Latin Kings. So Homeland Security just opened up a big project in Chicago, and it's where the Latin Kings keep their headquarters. So just let me read this to you. On November 8, 2025, Customs and Border Protection received credible information indicating that the Latin Kings leadership has authorized a shoot-on-site directive targeting immigration officer agents, including immigration enforcement agents, in operation of activities in the Operation Midway Blitz in Chicago and surrounding areas. So according to this, the Latin Kings have authorized direct firing, direct shootouts with the federal agents. Now, if that's the case and that happens, President Trump is going to authorize the National Guard in a big way, to come into Chicago. But the Latin Kings apparently are in many areas across America. I mean, besides Chicago, they're why should they be in operation like that? Why hasn't this been addressed already? So the Latin Kings are not limited to Chicago. They're in apparently all the major cities, and that they've taken up root. They've taken up shop. But the more they stand against ICE, the more power they can be given to bring these groups down. This could be a real blessing in disguise, taking these Latin Kings and having them threaten or shoot at ICE agents and then retaliate. And I mean, in a very quick time, you can mop them up, lock them up. But that's the latest out on the street, direct contact now with the federal agents. Illinois passed a law, which includes Chicago, that the judges can prevent ICE agents from, I think, even being in the building, but they can definitely can prevent them from arresting anyone in the courthouse. Oh, and they've established a 1,000-foot buffer zone outside of the buildings. The bill would also allow Illinois residents to bring lawsuits against agents whom they alleged violated their constitutional rights, including due process and unreasonable search and seizure. Our communities have been living in fear, and not fear of the illegal aliens and everything they've done to them, but fear of us or federal law enforcement. This bill is about giving people a sense of safety, a sense of humanity, and the assurance that their government sees them and will stand up for them. Oh, my. My, oh, my, oh, my. You're loved in Illinois by the governor, J.B. Pritzker. So they want it. The Illinois government there, and bleeding down into the mayor of Chicago, they want these confrontations. But it, you know, again, the strange thing for me to wrap my mind around is we're not talking about an illegal alien family with four kids. You know, the vast majority they're arresting are bad actors, folks. I mean, really bad. And they just twist it around and they say they're terrorizing the people. ISIS terrorized. So the good guys in this are the bad guys. I mean, ICE, it's an important thing what they're doing. Very important. Seriously important. But they rather have all the criminals there with them. The mayor's going along with this. The governor's going along with this. Like the world's upside down. Good is evil and evil is good. Now, there's one thing here that's good. The Senate committee gave to the Justice Department a report on a federal judge, Blosley, I think his name is. And anyways, he's been a tremendous nemesis to President Trump. And he, when it was with Russia, Russiagate there, Russia, he authorized, now this is before, well, it may have been while Trump was president, but it was before his special prosecutor. This judge, knowing what the FBI was doing, they were going after all the Republicans. And they came to him for that, those special monitoring you could do and special subpoenas, and they gave it to him, this judge. Amazing, folks. Amazing. So what he did was he committed a crime as a judge, because what he did had been blocked by the FBI, that they couldn't do this anymore. And that had been blocked by, not the FBI. The law says that the judges have certain requirements, and he didn't follow them. He shortcutted so that the FBI could get all the warrants they wanted. And they were against Trump. They were against senators, congressmen. Subpoenas for, companies, the telephone company, and many, many, many other companies. There was somewhere, I'm looking at it now, initially there was like, I heard 120, but then it went up to 200 and something. And the last I heard was 400 subpoenas, but then supposedly it's more than that. This is huge. Yeah, here it is. His name is James Bolesberg. He is the one that they went to get the judge to sign these phony subpoenas. It was all lies. Amazing. So now he's under investigation. hopefully something good will come out of it. So I think we've covered really all the important things here. Two sheriffs down in Mississippi and their deputies were all arrested by the FBI for trafficking narcotics, trafficking heroin or cocaine. Amazing. A total of 20 police were arrested between the two sheriff's department. They would escort the drug dealers through their states. So they come in Mississippi and they pay a bribe. And then all through Mississippi, they get an escort up to Memphis. Amazing, folks. Amazing. 20. Two sheriffs themselves and 20. And I told you about the German woman there in politics. Her name is, where did that go? Huh. I know I was looking at it. Here it is. Her name is Naomi Siebert. She is applies for asylum in the U.S. over political persecution from Berlin. Wow-wee. Wow. That is amazing. That is amazing. All right. We've covered everything there is to cover. So let's see. You can call in if you have questions. Comments, 717-409-5553. And I'm going to open up everybody here. There we go. We'll go with Sister Kathy's here. Now, Sister Kathy, I wanted to get to you first because you have been seeing the Sandman lately and off to sleep. So, do you have any comments, questions, anything you want to say?
Yeah. Well, I have a comment, and I'm chomping at the bits to give some unbelievable news that
I heard
today.
Good.
Yeah, and it's regarding New York. Tim DeLena, the preacher at Times Square Church, is just fully committed. He said this is going to be time of great darkness and light at the same time, just like in the land of Goshen, when it wasn't dark there, but it was in Egypt and so forth and so on. But this is what he said. He was, and I thought of this yesterday, about the Fulton Street Revival. Times were pretty much, other than the political kind of stuff, it was pretty much like that in the Fulton Street Revival. And the people, the mass exodus of that area of New York, and they were just moving out. And he said he just was led to go to Fulton and William Street, the corner where the building isn't there anymore. But he went and just walked on all four points of the block and just said, Lord, do it again. Lord, do it again. And in January, Chaplain, they're going to start doing a Wednesday morning, a Wednesday 12 o'clock, 1 hour prayer, just like the template of Fulton Street Revival. And that's as excited as you are?
No. I heard a dog barking and I was trying to stop that. I was doing two things at once. Thank you for that, Sister Kathy. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for like sort of an aggressive move with the Lord, taking it to the enemy, you know?
Amen.
And so this is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news.
It is. I'm just overwhelmed. And he said he is not discouraged at anything. He's praying for Mondami and just all of the people that are so cold and, you know, that they just need the Lord. And so I'm just beyond, and I wish it could start tomorrow, but it's going to be January.
And is it Wednesday?
Wednesday from 12 to 1.
Okay. It's too bad it didn't overlap here with us on Wednesday. But 12 yeah. to 1. Well, we could do is lead in prayer then. We could pray ahead of yeah. time.
Yeah, there you go. Prime the pumps before they start.
Prime the pumps. Well, all right. Any particular information we covered, Kathy, that was important or significant? Or?
Well, it just really, really, it all is just how, to me, it's just how nothing has been said about, I can't even think of his name, the guy in Ukraine. I mean, he's just like disappeared as far as seeing anything on the news of him, you know, Zelensky. And it's just, oh, you didn't say this, but I saw it today on the telephone. So it could be true and it could be AI, but it was a Jewish man talking about they have burned the red heifer. That it was, there was so much of a public outcry in Jerusalem about them doing it anyway. And so they just said they were going to do a test run, but they did it. They actually consumed by fire the red heifer that was spotless. And here's the thing he said too, that the priest had to have never been around death. And he said they had sequestered like 5 to 10 of the people that would have been able to do it. And it was a 20-year-old, and they had them up off the ground in a building up off the ground, and they never left that building for their entire life. So they would not have been exposed to death. And one of those, he said, everything was done. They've got like 10 gallons of ashes that are put various places over in Israel so that they will be there. And that was just very, he said it was just pulled off like clockwork. And that they were ready to go whenever it was time to consecrate the land and the utensils. They have everything they need for it. So that was a big piece of news today, too.
Well, I one of the factors in that, I'm sure, because the last time I heard about the red heifer was, I'm going to say earlier this year.
Yeah.
And they were running into a time problem because the heifer is a certain age.
Right. Has to be within 2 to 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. So it was probably the 4 years that they were running into, I think. Well, whatever it was. So
it was time sensitive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was time sensitive. Yeah. So that's probably why they did it, Sister Kathy.
Well, they did say that they wanted to bring 7 red heifers from I guess they were all from Texas.
Yes.
But that the government only allowed them 5. They can only bring 5 into Israel. And he said several of them showed white hairs, you know.
That's exactly right.
This one absolutely had no flaw, no imperfection. And the one that presided over the event met the stipulations for it with having never been around death and this and that and the other.
Okay.
So they're good to go.
Yeah. And they can store that. No, they can store it, Sister Kathy.
That's what they're doing. They've got it stored all over Israel. So if somebody wanted to get it and destroy it, there's no way they could do it with all these places. And there was another thing. It was some sort of oil. It had to be there, not lavender oil, but something similar to that. And they have that as well that is necessary for the purification. So, but it was a good night. Wonderful, wonderful, information.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that update.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Sharon.
Am I muted or unmuted now?
You're unmuted.
Okay. I'm a non-mutant. Okay. I just want to say I really enjoyed listening to you go through all these articles tonight. And what Kathy was just talking about, there's just so much that's kind of like, I don't want to say in our face, but everything is just coming together.
Yes.
And
I just
really need to keep watch of everything.
You see, Sister Sharon, in Numbers 19, there's a good part of the chapter is about the red heifer. And that is the first sacrifice that supersedes them all. So to cleanse the temple, what they need is they'll have this big vat with a lot of water in it, and then they'll have the ashes of the red heifer put into that vat. So the water is mixing with the and then they can sprinkle it on they go in there and they start sprinkling the whole temple and even the Holy of Holies and all of it. And then it's clean.
And
so that red heifer is needed.
Right. I know that whenever I've heard anything about red heifer, there was never any real information given out. And so what part of the Bible is that in, Chaplain John?
Numbers, the book of Numbers, 19.
Numbers. Okay. I need to go and read up on that and study up on the red heifer. And I know there is the need for the red heifer and everything biblically. And it just it's one thing that people just don't seem to talk about.
No. I mean, there was really no need to talk about it until now, really. You know, because now the ashes of the red heifer can be used if when the temple is filled.
Right.
Those ashes are needed exactly then to cleanse it so that the sacrificial system can begin.
Okay. And it needs to consecrate the ground too. They're going to have to do the ground as well, purify the ground.
Okay, and what would they use to do that, Kathy?
The same thing, the same ashes and water and that oil. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Sister Sharon?
Yeah, it just sounds very interesting, and I'll go through the numbers.
Yeah, Sister Sharon, this is real prophetic times now. You know, we're talking about Israel rebuilding the temple, the ashes of the red heifer. I mean, purifying and cleansing. I mean, this was never needed till now for centuries. Since Rome destroyed the temple in 70 A.D., so it shows you the this alone shows you the hour we live in.
Right.
Yeah, no downtime. No downtime now.
Yeah. Time to be ready to go.
All right. Now, Gigi and Randy?
Yes, we are here. Happy to be here.
Okay. All right. Any question or comment?
I just wanted to know, where did you get the information about these Afghanis in the U.S. coming to Christ?
It was on, where did I get it?
Yes.
Well, from that video.
No, but where did you get the video from?
Yeah,
are you posting the video?
I don't know. Yeah, it's on my blog.
What section would it be in?
It'd be under about Israel.
Oh, okay.
What I did was everything about Islam and the Muslims and all in Israel, I all just put it on that one section.
Oh, okay. That's great.
It's a little longer. It's about, it's about another 5 or 6 minutes, but it's basically the same thing. He's just reading all these comments he's getting from Muslims that have come to the Lord.
Yes, that's incredible. Because I'm not going to give you any details, but let's just say I was in school, okay? And there was a fellow that came to explain Islam to us, and he wasn't the original person that was supposed to come in. I was in seminary, okay? And when he was, when we were all in the meeting, all of a sudden he says he had been a white convert, okay? And he was on the circuit, debate circuit. And during the time that he came in to ask questions, he said, somebody asked him a question and he said, well, I can't really answer that question because 2 months ago I accepted Jesus. And we literally went into lockdown. Okay, I'm not going to give the details, okay? But because the school had been part of the Underground Railroad eons ago, they took this guy, they put him in hiding, and I got to meet with him, and basically he said that they were killing any Muslims in the United States that accepted Christ, run him over with a car, gave us all these examples, but they put him into hiding in his family, and then they got him a job out in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, I think about that. It was a long time ago now, but it was so dangerous for him, really dangerous.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was, incredible. Like, we had, a prayer group when we were praying for this overseas, for overseas. And I'm telling you, there were three of us in the back row. We almost fell over, literally. I'm holding onto the chair. Everybody starts crying. But, it was a long time ago, but I'm just saying he told us stories about, the guy that got run over in Denver and this guy got shot someplace else and a lot of them being run down, hit and run accidents. And so this to me is super special. That is going on. And apparently they're not killing them. So anyway, I just, this to me is all I can say. It's just a miracle. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, what you need, see, they can pick off one or two or three or four like that. But if there's a mass move and you got thousands and thousands of Muslims coming to the Lord, there's very little, if you've got a few, they can zero on the few and try and control the rest of them by taking out the leadership. But if you've got lots, like we were looking at tonight here, then there's very little they can do.
That is a miracle, really a miracle, because there were lots and lots and lots of people praying for this for years.
Yeah, there you go.
Years and years praying for this.
That might be one of the signs for the great outpouring coming.
Boy, I really pray it is, because like I said, that is just incredible. I just praise God for that. I really praise God for that.
Amen.
That's amazing. So I also wanted to ask Kathy if she could send me the link to the Times Church.
Yeah, just put TSCNYC and it'll pull it up.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Juan.
Okay.
Really, really good night.
Good. Good. All right. Let's, we got Sharon. Now we have Suzanne. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello. I just have a comment / question. I don't go around saying I'm a Zionist. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I'm a follower of Christ. So I'm curious, is there another terminology word that is to be used instead of saying I'm a Zionist?
Yeah.
Because it seems so people don't understand. Like, I don't even totally understand what it means. So I would never go around saying I am one if I don't totally understand what it means. And it's misinterpreted a lot.
See, Sister Suzanne, they do that as that's derogatory. To them, Zion is a very derogatory word. So that I never tell anyone I'm a Christian Zionist. What I tell them, I support, according to the Bible, I support Israel. You know, I don't call myself a Zionist unless it's like I'm confronting someone and I say, yes, I'm a Zionist because God is a Zionist. I'll do that. But when they call us Christian Zionists, that's a very derogatory term. Do you understand, Sister Suzanne?
Yes, but it's not a derogative word to everybody. It's kind of like depends on who you're talking to.
Right. But I never.
But at the same time, I don't think, you know, would they have used that word 2,000 years ago? Would they have said somebody was a Zionist? Or is that a term that was just, they came up with that actual word like in the late 1800s or something?
Zion is in the scriptures. So it's Zion starts with about 1000 BC with David capturing the city of David. And
David wouldn't have said, would he have said, I'm a Zionist?
Probably not.
Right. Okay.
But God said he is. God says he's a Zionist. I favor Zion. I love Zion, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Okay.
God used the word Zion.
Right, because it's a place. But in terms of
saying, Jerusalem. It's another name for Jerusalem.
Right. Anyway, well, thank you for.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all Zionists, except we never use the term. You know, I say I support Israel according to the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
No, that was what I was wondering about. Thank you.
Okay. And then we have Sister Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean. Yes, Paula Jean. All right. Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain. Yeah. It was a blessing tonight to hear all these people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ through dreams and vision in places where the Lord Jesus Christ was not allowed to be preached. Forever. I mean, it's like Iran, Iraq, and all these countries to where they banned Christians from. And the Lord would show himself to these people through visions and through dreams. And there's a verse in the Old Testament, I think, that, or is it in the, I don't know if it's in the Old or New Testament, but it says that in the last days, my people will hear. Let's see, my people. No, in the last days, old men shall
dream dreams, and your young men shall have visions.
Yes, yes.
Now you were right. You were right, Sister Rita. It's in
about what?
It's in both. It's in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And then it's in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 17, right there. So you got it. Okay. It's in both the Old and the New Testament.
Okay. But who said it? I thought it was the
Joel.
Lord Jesus Christ.
No. Joel, it's in the book of Joel, chapter 2. But then Peter quoted it on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2.
Okay, Peter did it. Okay. Well, anyway, I think it's just great. I think we're seeing that now because I have come across articles about Muslims. It's mostly in the Muslims that they would they got saved by seeing the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ or dreaming a dream, and it's just to me I really feel blessed when I hear these stories about these people.
Amen. Amen. So I think this is a prelude now. We're starting to see thousands coming to the Lord at like football games. Well, not football games, but they big events at college campuses. And this hear reports on in churches. And now we got these reports about the Muslims. So I think this is all leading into that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes. Yes. I agree with you.
Good. All right. Thank you, Sister Rita.
Yes. Thank you, Chaplain. I love Sunday nights, and I get just a blessing and getting on top of the news. I don't look at the news through the week, but Sunday night I get informed by
Good.
You, and I thank you for that.
Good. Good. Amen. Amen. Sister Paula Jean, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Okay.
I agree with everything that you both have been saying, and I just pray that those who have been missing the truth have their eyes and their hearts open to it. In Jesus' name.
Is that an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Sure.
I find myself getting a little tired on the third hour. I have to remember to bring water and ice with me. But it was a good night. I covered everything I wanted to cover. Let's have prayer, and then we'll be ready tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern for prayer, and then tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, Pastor Fred will be there for teaching. And then after he's finished, we have watch and pray time. Father, thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for we can see, especially with Israel, Lord, how the ashes of the red heifer, that's serious stuff. I mean, big time serious, Lord. So we thank you that we progressed this far, Lord, with the ashes of the red heifer. And now also this battle brewing between Hamas and Israel and Hezbollah in Israel. This talks about Iran firing many of their missiles at Israel. Of course, Lord, it will bring devastation upon them. But, Lord, this is the time now. This is the time. I believe that we're in the first stage of the battle of Jerusalem in Zechariah chapter 12. We thank you for that, Lord. We want to see multiple souls come to you. Lord, I'm working on this presentation with Dove, and we pray, Lord, that it could be done perfectly, Lord, absolutely perfectly. It's going to have a big impact, Lord, a huge impact, huge, huge, huge. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I pray that it'll be perfectly done under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, and again, we're not giving up on that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, things like this is encouraging about these Muslims, all these Muslims, especially Afghani Muslims coming to you, Lord. So we want to see a sweeping move of the Holy Spirit through the Muslims, Lord. That those imams have no one in their mosques, Lord. They'll have all come to Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. We give you all the blessings, all the honor, all the glory, Lord. What a time to live in. We can see all this coming together, Lord. We know your prophetic word, Lord. Christian Zionist is a good word, Lord. They mean it for evil because they think Zionism is evil. But, Lord, it's a good word, and we bring condemnation on them, Lord. The fact that we literally follow these events out there as fulfill, you know, your prophecy, Lord, that's good. And they can't take that, Lord. Replacement theology, we're in their face, Lord, and not in an ugly way. We're just in their face, and they're living a spiritual lie, Lord. So we convict them, and that's bad, Lord. Well, it's good that they're convicted, but that can bring a lot of problems, Lord. So we're going to do your will anyways. I thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you, and we're longing for your second coming, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his coming, Lord, coming for us. And we're going to go to the New Jerusalem. We're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. What an exciting time. We don't want to miss any of it, Lord. No downtime on this, Lord. This is a full court. This is a full out, all out sprint to the end, Lord. Bless all the listeners, Lord, and people watching, Lord. Bless them all, Lord. Bless their families, Lord. Bless their health in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I praise you and thank you now. And may we all have a good night's sleep in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering in, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow and free from sin. Gathering in, we will sing redemption's story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed.